This last week I was reviewing from Pew Research, their 2014 survey of religious landscape study. In there they shared that about 7 in 10 Americans identify or are affiliated with the Christian faith. 2014 showed a 6% decrease from those who identified with the Christian church in 2007, 7 years earlier. They listed in their study various Christian denominations and groups. The evangelical Protestants made up 25%. This includes your Southern Baptist Convention, Assembly of God, the Presbyterian Church in America, and the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. The Roman Catholic Church consisted of 21% of the population, and mainline Protestants, 15%, which is your United Methodists, the American Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church in the United States, Episcopal Church, and our very own Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The decrease of 6% reflects an increase of those who responded as being unaffiliated. 22% of the population saw themselves as unaffiliated. It was the youngest group according to median age. But of those responders, 15% of them responded as being associated with nothing in particular, no particular denomination or no particular church. But yet religion had some importance. But there was still some importance. And in the study, 3% of the population considered themselves as atheists of denying an existence of God. The question then arises, what is the reason for the increase of those who see themselves as unaffiliated? Certainly, there has been a long-standing number of people who do not see a need for church or religion and yet can still be spiritual. There are many others who consider to have questions about the church or the need for the church. But one reason that was posed was about how the church is so often portrayed of having division and conflict. This is more and more evident in our media, in our television broadcasts, and also throughout the internet, how there is division and conflict amongst churches. So there is an increased awareness of our religious groups' divisions and questions of one another. And so often, many of these groups, in their devotion to God, have conflicts with those who are different. So often, in our churches, God is portrayed as one who is divisive and hostile to those outside of a preferred denomination, or those who do not share a same moral view. So often the conflict that we see and witness to is that there is a self-interest in defining what God is like. A small group of people opened up a storefront church, something that we're familiar with. And it began well. And then one day, to the left of this small storefront church, opened another church. And they put up a sign that said, "We are the way." Sometime later, another church opened up on the other side. And they put up a sign. We preach the truth. So the church in the middle then had a dilemma. How do we market ourselves? What do we say? One says they're the way, another says they're the truth. And so they put up a sign. And their sign said, Main Entrance. But as we reflect on the study of those who are unaffiliated, we recognize that many of them are on the fringes of the church. Maybe have little background, little understanding. Maybe have never participated in the life of a congregation. And so we recognize that their views and their opinions are being developed. And often being developed of what they see and what they hear through the media. Being developed by the conflict that they see and that is being experienced in different churches. There's a long history of conflict in religion. One of the interesting studies is looking at Judaism and Islam. The God of Judaism is known as Elohim. The God of Islam is Allah. But these names are derived from the same root name, Eloah, which means God of gods. Elohim is recognized as the God of the cosmos, the true God, the creator, characterized as being kind and compassionate. Allah is understood to be the only God, the creator and judge, who's compassionate and merciful. Allah is also the name of God for the Arab Christians. And both the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad recognize as having the same God as Judaism. Both share the God of Abraham. And yet their history of these religions is full of conflict. So what do we make of this God of Abraham, who is also the Christian God? We define God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, the giver of life. God is also the Redeemer who cleanses us and forgives us. Furthermore, God continues to empower us, helps us to endure the struggles and the hardships of this world, keeps us alive and sets us apart to be a witness to the world. As we focus on this God, we see God in Jesus. God is as Jesus declared. And Jesus tells us that God loves, that God loves all. He wants nothing more than to forgive. God loves. His purpose is not to condemn. God loves and promises eternal life. As Jesus speaks of eternal life, he's specifically referring to a life in fellowship with God. Eternal life here and now. As we live a life of God, we live a life in relationship to God. That we live a life in communion with God. And it's shown in our devotion and in our reverence, in our worship and in our gathering. That we express the presence of God in our daily life and all that we do. Jesus demonstrates the love of God. We continue to experience this love of God in the Spirit. This breath of life. A breath of new life. Of being refreshed and reborn. And like the wind, the Spirit has an effect on us. It impacts us in who we are and all that we do. The Spirit reinforces this communion we have with God and fills us with His continuing presence. We are to be open to the Spirit's work. And even more so, desire to be open to the Spirit's work. For God is at work. God is acting. And so as all of Christianity, we are part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church, has lived in world history for over 2,000 years. And the history of this church is in fact checkered, turbulent, and filled with division. It is far from being perfected. But we continue to recognize and celebrate the communing nature with God that is ongoing. We continue to recognize that God is transforming and reconciling. And I find it so often ironic that God is often depicted as being divisive when Jesus, throughout His life and ministry, emphasizes unifying and bringing together. It's important for us to recognize as well that unity does not mean uniformity, and that there can be fellowship in our diversity. A man was asked one time, "What do you believe about God?" He says, "I believe what my church teaches." "Well, what does your church teach?" he says. "Well, it teaches what I believe." "Well, what does your church and what do you teach?" And he said, "Well, of course, the same thing." Many of us in our lives have family members and friends and people who are close to us who would check that box of being unaffiliated. And it's often difficult and can be a struggle to accept those who are seeking and those who are questioning. Those are wondering about a place of church in their life or the relevance in their lives. But it's important for us to remember that for most and many of these who are unaffiliated, God is portrayed in you and in me. A God who so loved the world.